Well, amen. Good to see all of you here. Trust you've had a good week in the Lord. We'll be in 1 Timothy tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Good to see so many kids coming on the bus. Brother Scott had 18 on his bus tonight. Praise God for that. Good to see the Corwins made it in safe. Welcome home. Glad to see y'all. Good to have visiting kids tonight. One young lady brought visiting kids last week and brought them back again this week. New kids, so she's been really busy over there. Praise the Lord for it. 1 Timothy will be in chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you're able to make it tomorrow night, men, we'll be going visiting a little while tomorrow. The men will. Tomorrow afternoon, about 6:45. Brother Hector, did we get enough that men that said they want to be part of the Fishers of Men program? We need more. Still need two more men that'd be willing to get involved with the Fishers of Men program. If you can would like to do that, would like to mentor one of the young men, please see Brother Hector back there in the back corner. No late fee involved. We won't charge you for being late. We just need to get these young men underneath the mentorship of somebody else. Sister Lois, how you doing with the beautiful girlhood? You need more ladies? You're good with the ladies. Okay. Thank you, ladies, for stepping up. Generally don't have a problem with the ladies. They're always on top of the game. It's we men that are slackers. We get slothful sometimes. Sometimes just simply forgetting. Today, my daughter was asking me about a family tree. She had to do something for health. Who your grandpa, great-grandfather was, and if they had any health problems at all. And boy, she asked me, and I could not think of a name at all. I don't know who they are. Just your grandparents, all I know. Grandpa and grandma on there. One had heart problems, one had high blood pressure. I knew that, but I couldn't think of their names outside of their last name. I had to think just for a little while just to get all that. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and without controversy. 1 Timothy 3 and 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So there's some controversy around this. I mean, it's something that people struggle with. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in glory, received up into glory. That's the mystery revealed. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And then God reveals what the mystery is. He opens it up and he shows us here. Now, if you're just off the top of your head, you think about godliness. You might come up with something like, well, being like God. We'd almost want to compare it to, in the same fashion as righteousness. But they're different, completely different. Greatest mystery of God. Then he goes on and shows God was manifest in the flesh. Who was that? That was Jesus. Jesus was God. He was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. You know, when he baptized, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. The Spirit came down. He was justified in the Spirit, led out into the wilderness, seen of angels, preached on unto the Gentiles, believed on in glory, received up into glory. It's about obedience, godliness. This is where we got to get. Now, I looked into this here, and it's a great mystery that God says right here in the Word of God. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery. Now, here's what the dictionary says. It's a religious life, a careful observance of the laws of God and performance of religious duties, proceeding from love and reverence for the divine character and commands of God. So in a nutshell, simply this: Christian obedience. Christian obedience. Great, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh. What did Christ do? When Christ came to this earth, he was obedient. I mean, he said, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." So there's this great godliness. What is godliness? And that's simple: Christian obedience. They know that you're my disciples. They know that you love me. That you're because you keep my commandments. That's what Scripture says. Now listen. There's a form of godliness. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So there's a great mystery, and then God unveils to us right there in that same verse what godliness is. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 3. In verse number 5, the Bible says there, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There's a form of godliness. That would be hypocrisy. That would be Christians who live carnally according to the flesh. That would be children of God, had this form of godliness. They do certain things in their life as long as it's convenient. As soon as it's not convenient, they're no longer wanting to be godly anymore. So great is the mystery of God. So listen, what if Christ would have came down to this earth, healed the sick, healed the lepers, raised the dead, cast out demons, went down to Pilate's hall in judgment, said, "I done sweated great drops of blood. They done spit upon me and beat on me. They got me out here all night long. All of my so-called disciples, even Peter, who said, 'Lord, it will never be so,' and I had to rebuke him. Lord, I know I said nevertheless, but I'm going to check out on this thing. It's just not a convenient hour to be going to the cross." Great is the mystery of godliness. See, godliness is being and doing what the Bible says that a Christian ought to do. Even when it's not convenient, even when it's not something we desire to do because the flesh has an appetite. I don't know about you, my flesh has an appetite. I mean, it desires to do things. So there's a great mystery. Without controversy, there's this great mystery about what is godliness and godliness, and it's simple. It is not enough to speak about the things of God. It is not enough to quote the Word of God and not live by the Word of God. We have too many Christians who have hid the Word of God in their mind. That's not where God says we're to hide the Word of God. We're to hide the Word of God in our heart that we might not sin against Him. How many battles have you ever lost that was lost in your mind? Early this year, I got down to below 210, and I was excited and happy. Said, "I'm going to stay down below 210. Then my mind told me that those brownies and those banana puddings and them pies and them hot dogs and hamburgers, they really good. And in my mind, I lost the battle. I wasn't obedient to what I told myself I would do, and now I'm back up above 215 again. Because the loss was in my mind. Our body, our mind, our carnality, our body, and the flesh has a route and a desire and a place that want to go and things it's wanting to do. But the mystery is this. I don't want a form of godliness. Because you know what a form is? Y'all look at us, oh boy, pastor sure is godly. Godliness is when I'm by myself. And I still do what God would have me to do. Godliness is when I'm out there alone and I'm on my own and I'm away from everybody and I'm away from my Christian brothers and sisters and I'm out there at work and I'm still obedient to God. Godliness. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. We have a whole group of Christians who desire and want to be and try to be as close to the world as they possibly can. We got a whole group of Christians on the other spectrum that try to be so outwardly godly that inwardly they're mad that they got to do the things they're doing and trying to show their godliness. They look at everybody else and say, well, why are they doing it? If they're so a part of God's family, why aren't they doing what I'm doing? See, godliness is we got to get Bible words down. Righteousness in Christ and Christ righteous in us, the hope of glory, and Christ shining forth out of us. Righteousness and godliness are not the same thing. But you can't have the one without the other. If you walk in obedience to the Scripture, the Word of God will change you. And by changing you, makes you, conforms you into the image of Christ. And therefore the righteousness of Christ flows out and shows out of us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number number 3. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, it says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, listen to it, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud. Listen to the description. Knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and listen to what it says, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Well, Paul's got some powerful words here right now. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5? It said there's a form of godliness, and at the end of that it says, withdraw thyself. Here he warns again, withdraw thyself. For some reason or another, dear friend, we've got to the point in our Christian circles that unless we've got a title, or we're seen at doing something, or we're part of the upper echelon of the organization, we've got to get to the point where we realize and understand something as God's people, that this church is Christ, and He's the head. He's the head. And that should be at every church. At every local assembly, they need to realize and must realize, but we're preaching right here to Lock Haven. It's not just for us. This is a biblical teaching. What did it say there? Back in verse 3, the latter part, it says, and to the doctrine which is according to God. That means it's a teaching. Who taught it? Keep, go back up and read some more. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, whose words? Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's proud. Knowing nothing. Told him about questions and strifes and words whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmise, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. See, there's a great mystery of what godliness is, and God spelled it out right there in 1 Timothy 3:16. And then he warns us that there's a form of godliness, and stay away from that form. And then he says there's a teaching of doctrine of godliness, there's a doctrine of godliness. And the Bible said in Acts that it's better that we obey God rather than man. So there's the doctrine, the teaching of godliness, and it says there that they are those that do not follow through with the obedience, Christian obedience like they should. They speak of it. They're really just proud. See, when I say that I am a King James Bible believer, but my life every day, day by day by day, doesn't line up with the Word of God, I'm proud. It's just, I am who I am because I know I got the Bible. God says you know nothing. Well, I am godly because look at my outward appearance. The Bible says that you know nothing. Well, I've got everything in order. My ducks are all lined up and I've got my eyes crossed. My eyes crossed and my T's dotted. My eyes dotted and my T's crossed. So I am something. God says we're proud and know nothing. But we have these questions. If you only love God, you would do as I do. If you really love God, your life would line up with the things I'm lining up with. Wait a minute. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of the Sunday school teacher, even the words of the song leader, even the words of the deacon, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proud, knowing nothing. Doting about questions and strifes and words, whereof it cometh envy, strife, railings, evil smile, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. That's where we're at in our Christian circle, dear friend. When you get to the point wherever you are having articles written in mainstream Christendom about the acceptance of things that are contrary to the Word of God, and you have so-called Christian families that say, yeah, we live in a different time and age. I guess I wasn't even going to get that far down into it, but I'm going to go ahead because I done waded out and I got my toes wet. Might as well roll up my britches leg. When we have folks that are called Christians, God's people, that think it's okay to abort children because it's a different time, we're not walking according to the wholesome words. Even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, because if we go back to the New Testament and the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Gospel said it was better for a man not to even be born if he was to harm a child. That's the wholesome words. Why are we there? Because we have a form of godliness. a form of godliness. Why are we at the point right now where we are having, in the last decade, a change on the marriage scene? A form of godliness. But we have Christians right now that are not saying, well, if I say something, I'm going to hate them. I won't hate none of them. Listen, I'll be honest with you. If you're a homosexual sitting here tonight, I'll sit down and have supper with you and talk with you and spend time with you. I don't hate you. But I will not stand in agreement with it. Because the Word of God says it's not right. The wholesome words of Jesus. Well, what does Jesus say about marriage? It's all in the New Testament. We can see that. That's an Old Testament thing. No, Jesus covered it in the New Testament. The wholesome words of Jesus. And they dote about with strifes and anger and railings and surmising and perverse disputings. Men of corrupt minds, destitute of what? Truth. How do we know what to be obedient to? Sanctify thy word. Thy word is truth. Without the truth of the word of God, dear friend, we have no compass to be obedient to. It's at the point where every man does that which is right in their own mind. When we try to convince ourselves that the Word of God, but there's a teaching of godliness, the doctrine right there in this here chapter. And then there's the practice of godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse number 7. How about verse 6? Verse 6, 1 Timothy 4, 6. And if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. That word doctrine is teaching. Whereunto thou hast obtained, verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. We got to get to the point where we understand something, dear friends. To exercise godliness is to be obedient to the Word of God. It's Christian obedience. So we do away with these old wives' tales and fables and things of that. Listen, the traditions of men and things of that and so forth and so on. And the way, well, we do it this way because we've always done it that way. And so by doing it always that way, you've got to be wrong. We got to do away with fables and wives' tales and all that. We've got to exercise rather unto godliness. We've got to get to the point where you look at it and say, oh, wow. You know, I didn't see that in the Word of God like that before, but I see it there now. So, it's quite okay that since the Word of God says that, if they want to do it, I'm not going to fight against that. Well, give me an example. Well, I'll give you one example real quick and we'll move on. Let's see. I think I had an example marked right here. Okay, go back to verse number 1, same chapter. Here's your example. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving unto them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused If it be received with thanksgiving, for it is received, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. There is a huge movement among society today that it's gone past being a vegetarian. They call themselves vegans now. And they get highly upset with you if you eat a squirrel. But the Word of God says that commanding to abstain from meat. But those are, listen, if you want to eat a carrot all your life, that's your business. I'm not against you. I'm really not. You can walk around with you an onion and a carrot and a cabbage in your purse. It won't bother me at all. But those are your traditions. That's what you do. And on the same thing, if I want to walk around with a bucket of chicken and a fish and a catfish and a sack full of shrimp, that's my business. My opinion and your opinion on those, they shouldn't matter. That shouldn't, well, I can't fellowship with you because you're eating lettuce. What? I can't fellowship with you because you're eating, cow meat. Hamburger. Cow meat. Hamburger. That's silly stuff, dear friend. We have too much that we have to be involved in right now. Let me just throw this out there. If you are a vegetarian and a vegan, you're okay with me to be here. I'm all right with that. It doesn't bother me. But don't get upset, throw a hissy fit if somebody sits down beside you eating a piece of bologna. We gotta understand something. And then it goes on, and it goes on about the wives' tales and fairy tales and fables and all that. And it says, rather doing all that, rather fussing and fighting and disputing about these little bitty things, exercise godliness. How do you exercise godliness? Being obedient to the Scripture. Being obedient to the Word of God. We've got to get to the point where we understand this. Go to 1 Timothy 6:11. I'm done quickly before those kids get home on the bus. 1 Timothy 6:11. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 11. It says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. I mean, run from them. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Go back up to verse number 1 of this same chapter. I'm going to read it, and we're going to just go on and go and get on the buses. Let as many servants that are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, and that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And it says, if any man, we've read that part, if any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words. And consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the doctrine which is according to godliness. And then it goes on and says, it's disputing, it's not. Verse 6, but godliness with content is great gain. And it says, verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us there be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and snares, unto the foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which will come some coveted after. They, having erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness and godliness. Faith, love, patience, and meekness. Listen, God's not against you having things and having your own life and you know, living your dreams out. Matter of fact, it says in the book of Psalms that he's willing to bless us with the pleasures of our heart's desires. If they be something to be obedient to and needful for our life at that time there. But don't get caught up thinking because you done got yourself a job and gained you houses and retirement plans and you know, you got your name among those in the workplace. And don't think to the point that you've done got something and you are without need of God. But godliness with contentment is great gain. When you work and you labor and you spend time out there, like it says in verse 1 and 2, if you have a lost master or employer or a saved employer, it still should be done for the glory of God. Whoever you're working for, and you consent yourselves to the Word of God and to the words of Christ, and as you look at your life, you say, wow, is this going to amount to anything? Is this going to add up to much at all? Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, God's not against you having dreams, but let your dreams first be in obedience to God and allow God to do the rest in your life. He is well able to bless you. And I'm going to tell you, God's not against people being rich. I mean, Solomon was a pretty wealthy man. Matter of fact, sometimes, you know, it says that somebody says this stuff like this and for the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, I've tried to tell Walmart there, they still make me pay. They ain't bought into it yet. You got to have money to live, dear friend. That ain't saying that if you got money that you're evil. It's saying if you put chasing that money before the obedience to God, then it becomes a serious problem in our lives. In our lives. I love the old movie, Fiddler on the Roof. I don't know if you never watched it. If you got 3.5 hours, it'd be a good one to watch. It's a long one, but it's a good one. And the old actor there, they got somebody trying to steal his daughter and always got these new philosophies. And he says, I know, riches are the curse of the world. And he looks up to God and says, God, curse me and may I never recover. Listen. If Bill Gates wants to give me about $60 billion, I'm okay with it, I promise you. But I don't think he even knows my name. But I know who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he knows my name. And God's not against you having things, but be obedient to God, not to the things of the world. Father, we love you. We ask you, Lord, to bless as the children get back on the bus, keep Brother Scott safe as he takes them home. Thank you, Lord, for adding to our bus route. Now we ask you to continue to work on the other bus route and help it, Lord, to regain its momentum and get other folks coming back on it, Lord, so we can have both buses running with full capacity, Lord. Help us to reach our community. Help us to be obedient to you. It's a great mystery, God. It's a great mystery of godliness. Lord, we don't want man's obedience. We don't want to be godly in man's eyes. We want to be godly in your eyes. So help us to be obedient to Scripture. Lord, when those Scriptures come across our paths that are hard on the flesh, Lord, when they're difficult for the flesh to submit to, give us the meekness and humility, Lord, to just be humble, to accept. If you said it, you love us enough. Help us to submit to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed, church.